Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT news team.
That's right. It's time for Talk of the Rock here on KMXT. I'm your host, Davis. And in the studio, I have a familiar guest and voice that I'm sure many of you will recognize, but I'll let her introduce herself.
Hello, this is Ellamy Tiller. I'm the outreach coordinator at KWRCC, the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center.
Perfect. Welcome, Ellamy. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you got it. And we're going to preface this conversation. So obviously, as you said, you're with the Kodiak Women's and Resource and Crisis Center. And tomorrow is April 1st.
Yes.
And the month of April in general is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, which I know KWRCC deals a lot with and provides services for and resources for survivors of sexual assault.
Yes.
So we're going to get into that in a little bit. But first, let's just talk a little bit about why it matters for folks to be aware.
I mean, right.
Obviously, we know sexual assault happens. I'm sure a lot of people know this, of course, even if you aren't directly connected to somebody who's experienced it or you haven't
right.
experienced it yourself. But why is it so important for those of us who aren't directly impacted
yeah.
to be aware?
I mean, I think there's a few reasons. One of them is even when you know that it's happening and even when it's happened to you or to people that you care about, I think most of us don't really understand how much it's happening, how widely spread this problem is. So for example, in 2025, KWRCC had 38 sexual assault clients. And those are just the ones who came to us for help. We know that does not include all the folks who either didn't need or didn't want our assistance or maybe didn't even realize that what had happened to them was in fact sexual assault. While it seems like in so many ways that should be really obvious, another reason we need to talk about, awareness is because a lot of folks don't really even understand kind of how big and broad a problem it is. I know a lot of folks think, well, I said no, but they kept asking, they kept pushing, and so finally I gave up and I said yes. So that means I consented, right? And I would say to the folks, well, no, that was coercion. If you can't say no, then your yes also doesn't really matter. And so, people have that experience, I think, a lot. Or people who think, it wasn't sexual assault because it wasn't like this, or because it was my partner or and we know that even if you're married to someone and you've been happily together many, many times, if you say no and someone makes you do something you didn't want to, that still's not okay. It's still not safe.
Right.
And so I think that's another, piece we need to talk about is so folks understand, whether they've been on the receiving end or whether they've been on the perpetrating end. Am I doing things to my partner that maybe I shouldn't be doing, or am I pushing people in ways I should not be pushing them? So
I appreciate that. And thanks for getting us started here, Ellamy. And for our listeners, if you're just tuning into KMXT, this is Talk of the Rock. And yes, we are going to be discussing sexual assault on today's show. So there is your forewarning. If you need any sort of resources or if you feel triggered or need immediate help while listening to this show, you can call. Well, what is the best number, I guess, for them to call
now? You can call right now. You can talk to an advocate at yes. KWRCC at 907-486-6171. You can call literally anytime. There's always someone on duty.
24/7.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, great. So we're also, as well as sexual assault, we are also, awareness, we're also going to be talking about respect. And
yes.
I think a lot of this stems from, as you were saying before, Ellamy, a lot of this stems from just trying to spread more information and education for folks who maybe could be perpetrators of sexual mm-hmm. assault in the future, right? We want to help our young people understand proper boundaries and,
yes.
You know, so that they don't end up in these situations. So why don't we start with respect then? Why is respect
yeah.
so important?
So the state of Alaska started doing the Choose Respect campaign years ago. And I think that Kodiak, maybe one other community, still do it. And one reason that I really like this campaign, that I really appreciate this, is we're, you know, it's broad enough. We're talking about sexual assault prevention. We're also talking about domestic and dating violence prevention. And honestly, you could include child abuse prevention, like any kind of violence. We're not excited about that. And rather than just say, don't hurt people, we want to say, well, what should we do?
Exactly.
How do we treat people with respect? And respect is such an interesting word, because I feel like, especially like I use it a lot, especially this time of year. And you know, you kind of start losing what actually are we talking about when we're talking about respect? And I think there's a few different ways people use that word. One of them, and I always will get someone at this, you know, when we're talking about this event, someone who's like, well, respect needs to be earned. It's not just given. And like, that's not wrong. But the kind of respect I think we're talking about in that case is like a special esteem, like where you're elevating this person above the common everyone. And that does need to be earned for sure. But I think there's also a kind of respect, and this is the kind that we're really getting after with this event, just the kind that's due to everyone just because they're a human, where you value other people as people, where you value that they have rights and they have responsibilities. You value that they have beliefs and opinions. You don't have to agree with all of those, but you respect their right to hold their opinions. You respect that their needs are also important, just like mine are. And that, you know, that they have, yeah, that just because they're a person, that they are important.
Right, and that goes back to, you know, something I think most of us were taught when we were kids is, you know, if you respect yourself, then you mm-hmm. treat others the way you would treat yourself. So in
yeah.
other words, if you're respecting yourself, you're also hopefully respecting
yeah.
others the same way, right? You're looking at it from that lens.
Yeah, kind of treat people the way you want to be treated sort
yep.
of thing.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, like kind of getting back to that, you know, we want to, when we're talking about prevention, I feel like the most common way we talk about it is, you know, how to help people keep themselves safe and not let bad things happen to them. And obviously it is important for folks to learn that kind of stuff. But I feel like if you really want to stop things like sexual assault from happening, you need to stop the people who are doing the sexual assaults. No one chooses to be sexually assaulted. That's the whole point. Someone does choose to assault someone else. And so we need to talk about, you know, how do I approach people around me? How do I interact with my friends and my partners and other relationships that I'm in? How do I approach strangers? Am I doing it in a way that's remembering that they are a person who matters as much as I do? Or am I treating them as some way I can get what I want?
Yeah, well said. And talking about sexual assault in general, that is yeah. an umbrella term.
Yes.
The National Sexual Violence Resource Center has a lot of great resources online.
Yes.
If you're curious, check that out. But I just want to sort of share some terms here that folks may be familiar with but may not realize actually falls under sexual assault. So obviously the big one, of course, is rape or sexual assault in general. But there's also different forms of sexual harassment and abuse that could be, you know, unwanted touching, that could be exposing someone's, you know, private parts, or basically non-consensually sharing
yes.
images, or information about that person. And of course, you know, it's not just actions, it's also words, as you were saying before. You know, it's not just this one-time thing where, you know, you're asking for consent and they say no. It could be a situation where it's eventually coerced over time.
Or coerced because you're like, well, if you don't, I'm going to whatever, whatever, whatever.
Right, right.
Or I will tell people something about you, or I will, you know, there's a million ways we pressure each other.
Indeed, yes. And being that we're also human, you know, we will behave differently too. So in general, LME, what should folks be looking for, I guess, when they suspect that maybe someone is being sexually assaulted, but they haven't seen, obviously, something happen?
Right. I mean, I think the biggest thing, and this is what's great, is like the biggest thing you want to look for is just if someone is suddenly acting differently, or if someone isn't kind of doing things and behaving in ways that you would expect from them in a given situation. And what's great is like that doesn't mean that because someone starts dressing differently doesn't necessarily mean that they've been sexually assaulted. But it's a thing you can notice and that you can check in with them about. And maybe that is what happened, or maybe something else happened and they need a different kind of help, but they still need help. Or maybe they're just like, oh, I'm just trying something else out for now. And like, oh, okay. And I feel like, you know, so we want to notice, like, is someone acting differently? Are they... And it can go a lot of different ways, too. Sure. Like, it's not like there's some nice, neat signs to look for, but you know, either they are maybe spending less time out with people and they're more time alone, or maybe they're the opposite and they're out all the time now and they're, you know,
just like you said, drastic change in behavior not that they would normally not be doing,
right?
And as you said before, I mean, they're not necessarily going to tell anyone or vocalize either,
right?
So it's going to be mainly visual cues, like you said, physical behavior that they're exhibiting.
Or they might say things and maybe it's not direct. Or they might be, you know, responding to things and you're like, oh, interesting. And so if you're just kind of seeing something that you're like, what is going on? Your best bet is to check in with people privately, obviously, and respectfully. And there's a good chance that they will not want to tell you about it. And that's okay. But to kind of leave that door open and say, hey, you know, if something's going on, if you want to talk to me about it, like, I'm here. Is there anything I can do to help you out? And then I think, too, like, you know, letting folks know they can talk to you, or there are professionals that are helpful. And I will just say right now, like, one thing that's great about KWRCC is that you can call and you do not have to tell us your name. You don't have to tell us, you know, anything about what happened or who hurt you or anything that you don't want to tell us. We will do our best to help you with whatever information you feel safe sharing. And we can talk you through kind of your options. We're also never going to make anybody report anything. We're not going to like call the police for you. We're not going to report on the person that hurt you. Like, that's not our job. We know that's a really difficult decision. And if folks want to do that, we will help them. And if they don't want to do that, we will help them.
Right.
So, yeah.
Basically, as you said before, KWRCC, you know, has advocates regardless of what action the survivor wants to take.
Yeah.
The KWRCC can help them walk them through that.
Exactly.
And that phone number, I'll just throw that out one more time since you mentioned it. Yep. So again, if you are a... survivor of sexual assault, if you're currently experiencing some sort of harassment, abuse, assault, and you are looking for help, you can call anonymously at 907-486-6171. And again, that's a 24/7 number where someone will always answer the phone.
Yeah. And you can call even if you're like, this thing happened and I'm not sure if it counts as sexual assault, but it made me uncomfortable. Or you can call if you're like, my friend is being weird and I don't know if I should be worried about them. But yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And following up on that last part you made, for folks who are listening who are maybe, again, like in, they want to know more about how they can help. They want to be able to, you know, help a loved one or a friend. KWRCC also offers trainings from time to time to sort of help with this. We were talking offline here about bystander intervention or just how to be how to step in that moment and help your friend or person who's experiencing this. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I think we've actually got a bystander training on the calendar for May. And I will be sure to publish all the details once we have
we'll
those sorted
that.
Out. But what we talk about a lot in these trainings is really, you know, first we want to practice noticing things. I think for a lot of us, myself included, we see something and it kind of gives us like a weird like, huh, that feels kind of ugh. But then we give people the benefit of the doubt, or we assume that probably it's fine, or that, you know, it's none of our business or whatever. And we kind of dismiss it and we let it go. And sometimes it is nothing and sometimes that's fine. But a lot of times I think, you know, if we paid a little more attention, if we check up on somebody, we might find out that there is more going on. And so, you know, part of the training is just let's practice noticing things, and giving them the weight that they deserve. And then the next part is, you know, okay, so I've noticed something, what do I do? And I say our first priority is safety, right? Like, I'm never going to ask someone to jump into a situation that they think is not going to be safe for them. And what's great is there's a lot of things that you can do to help without like throwing yourself in front of someone who's being scary. You know, whether you're calling someone else for help, or oftentimes, honestly, we see that like if someone, so common scenario, right? You're in a bar and you see someone is bothering someone and they look uncomfortable, and you're like, oh, that is kind of crossing some boundaries. That looks unsafe. A lot of times if like you and a couple of friends just get closer, and you don't even have to say anything, but suddenly people realize someone else is noticing what they're doing, and then they might stop.
Right. So just sort of like, as you said, showing that you are noticing what they're doing.
Like people who realize they have a witness.
Right.
Sometimes suddenly are like, oh, what am I doing? I'm going to change my plan now. Doesn't always work, but it does sometimes. Or, you know, you catch the eye of the person that you're worried about and you're just like, hey, do you need help? Are you okay? And maybe they're like, you know, I'm fine. And they're like, okay, no problem. But maybe they're like, yes, get me out of here.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, right, exactly. Offer, as you're paying attention, offer that opportunity for the person to ask for help.
Yeah.
If they
just
need
to kind of be like, hey, I'm here to support. And honestly, too, sometimes in the middle of the situation, like there's nothing that you feel like you can do safely or that you feel comfortable doing. Like, also the point of the training isn't to give people a bunch of strategies that they're definitely never going to feel good doing. But like, you know, what are things you can do inside your comfort zone? You can check up on people later. You can get someone else's attention and be like, hey, do you see what's happening over there? Maybe that person can help. Like,
right, exactly. Power in numbers,
yeah,
for sure. And like you said, all of these involve your own sort of safety and your own boundaries, as you said before. Yeah.
Yeah. Different people are going to feel good doing different kinds of things. And thankfully, like, there's things that anyone can do, regardless of who you are or what the situation is. And so we want to talk about that. And we want to, you know, pay attention to that. And then I think also it's just really important to kind of notice the way, not even in like a specific situation, but just the way in general that people talk about, you know, sexual assault, or the way people talk about women or bodies or anything, and to just kind of start paying attention, because, you know, somebody makes a joke and they're just joking, but maybe somebody else that's listening actually thinks that that's reasonable and okay and how you should treat people. And some people must, because so many people are hurting people.
I appreciate that segue too. We're going to come back to language in a moment here, yeah. But yeah, just for those who maybe aren't aware, I mean, there's a lot of statistics out there. You can find them online. Again, the National Sexual Violence Resource Center is a great resource. Here in Alaska, we have STAR Alaska, the Sexual Trauma Prevention and Response website. But their statistics show that more than 4 in 5 Alaska Native women, that's over 84%, have experienced violence in their lifetime. That is a staggering statistic that is reality for many women here in our state. And I guess talking a little bit more about language, as you mentioned there, LME, and the words that we use, how can men who are most of the perpetrators against Alaska Native women, how can, and women in general, how can we be, you know, more informed and better educated about, the words we use and the behavior we're presenting?
Yeah, I mean, and I think a big first step is again, just paying attention. There are so many resources on the internet, in books, in, you know, all kinds of places.
KWRCC,
where like you can start learning things. But I think, you know, being aware of how people talk about other people, being aware of especially how people talk about women. We know that people of all genders, all demographics, all ages, all ethnic groups, all everybody experience sexual assault. We also know that the majority of victims are women and the majority of perpetrators are men. But so, you know, how do people talk about women? Do they talk about them like people or do they talk about them like objects? What kind of words do people use when they're talking about sex? And you know, it can feel like nitpicky and silly and like, that's not my intention. I think that how we, like, our meaning is so much more important than the specific words that we use. But the words that we use are connected to the things we mean. And so, you know, if we start listening and just paying attention to ourselves and the people around us, what words are people using when they're talking about relationships or when they're talking about sex, when they're talking about their partners? When you're in a group of people and a woman says something, do the other people listen? Or do they just talk over her?
Wow.
Do they ignore it, right? Like, we've heard so many times that's happening.
Yeah. I mean, no, that's a great example. Absolutely.
And just, you know, so just paying attention to how do you and the people around you treat other people?
And that, of course, goes back to where we started, which is choose respect.
Exactly.
How you respect people involves, of course, as you said, listening to them, respecting them as a human being, respecting their boundaries. Yeah. And that's really important. And an annual event that Kodiak puts on is the Choose Respect March.
Yes.
So LME, tell folks a little bit more about that. If they're not aware, they should be aware. But if they're not, what would you say about that event?
We are holding this year's Choose Respect March on Wednesday, April 15th. We're going to meet at the auditorium in the foyer there. Registration is going to open at 11:30. And we'll start walking hopefully by 11:45. We pushed it a little bit earlier this year because we wanted to match up with the high school's lunch schedules. The students are absolutely welcome and encouraged to come. KIBSD is one of our partners on this event. And so we'll, you know, we usually are done in half an hour, pretty quick, should be finished well before 12:30. And so, there will be snacks.
I love snacks. But just to go back, so it is a public demonstration.
Yes.
And it really is like a sign of solidarity and support, right?
Yeah. We just ask folks to kind of come out and show folks that, like, yes, we do choose respect. We don't think it's okay for folks to hurt other people. We don't think it's okay for people to be sexually assaulted. And this is important for a few reasons. One, we want survivors to see that people in their community care about them. Because again, so many survivors think that they're alone or think that this only happens to them or only happens to a few people. And we want them to say, hey, no, like, we care about you. And there's more than one, right? Like, there's a lot of us. And so that's important. And then we also want, we want people who are or might become perpetrators to see, hey, there are people that aren't okay with that choice. That's because so many people, I think, believe that the things they're doing are expected and normal and just the way it's supposed to be. And it's just like, oh, hey, no. No, most of us don't think that. Most of us think that we should be good to people.
Right. Absolutely. And it comes down to, yeah, like you said, knowing that you're not alone and being able to ask for help when you need help, whether you are a person who might be experiencing sexual assault or a person who might be a potential perpetrator. Like you said, we all need help at some point.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we would so much rather have someone be like, hey, I'm afraid I'm not doing healthy relationships. Let's talk about that. Let's help you get on track. So...
And with the Kodiak Chooses Respect March, you also typically involve law enforcement. Obviously, local law enforcement seems to be supportive
Both
of this.
Both the Kodiak Police Department and the state troopers are our partners in this event. And the school district, like I said, as well as public health and Kana and Shunack and Native Village of Afognak. I think that's everybody.
Yeah, I think you got them all. The logos I see down here at the bottom of the flyer.
So it's great. It's a pretty broad spectrum of service providers, of people who care about what's going on. We want folks to know that, the system is not perfect, but the system cares and we're trying.
Yeah, absolutely. There are people who are trying. And if you're not in Kodiak, there also are a couple of marches. You've been doing LME in other communities around the island. Tell us about that.
Yes. Last week, a few of us were able to go down to Old Harbor to join their Choose Respect March. I think we had about 60 people turn out for that. That was really exciting. And then in a couple of days, Uzinki's holding their Choose Respect March, and we're really excited to see how that goes. But it's been an event that's happened all across our island for many, many years now. And I'm really so grateful that it continues to be an important piece of what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking about that, according to Star Alaska, this is actually the 25th year that Sexual Assault Awareness Month, or SAM, has been around in the state, in the country, officially, I guess I'll say. I'm sure there was other, sexual assault awareness going on before that. But 25 years, that's a big deal. So there's a lot more advocacy and information and awareness that they're trying to spread around this theme of 25 years stronger, looking back, but moving forward, which I think is really, really important to acknowledge, too, that, just because you may have been a survivor of sexual assault in the past, that does not define who you are going forward, correct?
Yeah. And I think it's really impressive, too, to think obviously people have been sexually assaulting people for probably ever. And the fact that there are public and official stances against this now is a really new thing. And even just in the last few decades, since there's been kind of advocacy around this, we've learned so much and we've come so far and we've changed so much about kind of what we realize people need and how we want to help people and how we want to talk about these things. And I think it would be really interesting to me to look back at that 25 years ago, kind of what their approach was, and to see how it compares to now. I bet it's not the same.
I bet you're right. Well, unfortunately, we have to wrap up there, Elamy. This always flies by when you're here. I appreciate
Thank
your time.
You. So good to chat.
Yeah. And for those who missed it, again, the Kodiak Choose Respect March is April 15th. That's a Wednesday, starting at 11:30 is the start of registration, but the march begins at 11:45 at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium.
Yes.
Awesome. And could you give KWRCC's phone number and contact info as well?
You can call us at 486-6171, or you can email outreach@kwrcc.org.
All righty. And with that, we'll throw it back to Terry in the studio. You're listening to KMXT Talk of the Rock, and this has been a conversation about Sexual Assault Awareness Month, which is going on the entire month of April. Thanks for tuning in.